This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 807. Thanks for listening. Make sure you check us out at markingout.com. Also, on Spotify or wherever else you are listening to your podcast, give us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review. Buy a t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook. Give us a follow on Twitter at Marking Out, TikTok at Marking Out, Instagram at Marking Out 11. You can follow me, Dave the Rave, on all platforms at DavidPTDPT. You can follow Chris at CMSweeney85 and Chris Sweendog. And you can follow Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing amazing. How was your week? You jam-packed week. How was it? Quite long.
Obviously, we spoke about going to Fanatics Fest last week. So Thursday I went, and it was a long, long day.
I'm sure. You got there right at the opening, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't like early like last year, because this was an added day from compared to last year. But I feel like the way that they gave out the badges could have been a lot better. That was like a giant mess, because when I got there, there was like nobody there. So I go up and I thought I was going to be able to pick up my pass right away. And they're like, oh, you have to wait till this time. And I go and I find a seat, and then I notice this line start piling up, and it's just like this gigantic line to get your badge, and I'm like, what is going on here? So I feel like they could have done a much better job at the line over there. But I got in, headed straight away to the event with LeBron James and Tyrese Halliburton. And it was on that center stage, but because I feel like I'm almost certain they made that area smaller than it was last year. And it was beyond packed. Like, there were no seats by the time I got there. I was up on the media riser, and I'm like, I can't stand for this. So I waited, I don't know if I waited like 15 minutes or so for the event to start, and I grabbed a few pictures and stuff, and then I mean, it was very difficult to get out of there too, because even beyond the theater, there were people standing there waiting to see if LeBron James was going to be like, oh, I'm going to this team. Brother, come on. He's not making that kind of an announcement like that.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like an event where LeBron James is a free agent, where people expect him to maybe announce a new team, that should have been in the theater. I went to WWE Now with Sam Roberts and Megan Morant, and I thought that was a really cool experience.
And what was that?
Trick Williams was the guest. It's just like well, I guess in this instance, it was basically just a podcast. But okay. Sam and Megan, they do like the recap and previews for stuff all the time. But that stage sucked because there were no seats at that stage. So I would really prefer for them to have seats at all the stages.
So pretty much this isn't an ADA-friendly thing right now.
Yeah, I don't... well, I guess in their minds, ADA would have a wheelchair, but I don't think that's always... I mean, that's not always the case. So I would very much so prefer... And I'm, like, asking people, I'm like, is there no, like, ADA section over here even? They're like, oh, you could ask this person, that person might know. Nobody knows anything there. I don't think they're, like... I don't think they're trained in knowing a lot of things.
No, they're just employees of the center or just come to work that one event.
So I thought that was a really cool experience. Our video on TikTok of Trick Williams coming out blew up. Mm-hmm. It's over 11,000 views already, so I appreciate everybody on TikTok at Marking Out. If you go watch our videos there, on YouTube Shorts as well.
And after, what else did you do on Thursday?
After that event, I wandered the floor down there, and WFAN was doing a live broadcast, I guess, and I heard a familiar voice, and I'm walking by, Charlotte Flair was on the show. So I thought that was a pretty cool experience. After that, I ran into Cody Rhodes and Megan Keller doing the hockey event that they had set up for the Fanatics games.
Mm-hmm.
I caught a little bit of Damar Hamlin on Vic Blenz's show. So that was interesting. He spoke about his recovery from his injury and everything.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I went to What Do You Want to Talk About with Cody Rhodes and Tom Brady. That was also in the center stage. And I was expecting that to be a lot more packed than it was. Not that there weren't like a lot of people, but I thought it was going to be very difficult to get into that because Tom Brady is like Tom Brady.
A name.
Yeah. But luckily I was literally front row.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a cool experience to see that live right in front of me in the stage. And then after that, I literally, the only thing I needed to do were go to that, maybe check out WWE Now and then that Cody Rhodes podcast. So I got a lot done on Thursday, and then mm-hmm. I was wandering the floor and bought some empanadas, and I hear some other voices coming from the corner, and I wander over there. It's Kevin Hart doing Cold as Balls with Gronk, so I watched that for a bit, and then I left. So, I got a lot done on Thursday. I thought it was a really great experience overall, and then I went back on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I started with Nightcap, which is hosted by Shannon Sharp, Joe Johnson, and Chad Ochocinco. And the reason why I went to that was because Roman Reigns was going to be there with Jalen Brunson. And I thought this was going to be a very difficult event to get into because of Jalen Brunson. I was going to go on Thursday to Brunson had his podcast on the main stage, on the center stage. And because of the crowd that I saw for LeBron and Tyrese Halliburton, I was like, there's no chance I'm getting into this. So I didn't even attempt to try to go to that roommate's podcast.
Yeah, the roommates with him and Josh Hart.
This was in the theater. So this was a very easy, you line up on your designated line, you get in when you get in, like when they open the door, you're right there. You're not fighting for seats or anything. So I thought that was a very cool experience. And it was awesome to see Jalen Brunson because he's a huge wrestling fan, obviously. We're going to talk about that even more so in a moment. So we got, like, pro wrestling out of Brunson. Shannon Sharp is a huge, huge wrestling mark. So hearing him talk was also cool. And then obviously being there with Roman Reigns. And I feel like people were there more so for Roman Reigns than almost more so than Brunson.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I heard OTC chants more than MVP chants. But after that, I went to John Cena's question and answer. That was center stage. I was front row for that. But I don't know. I feel like there were some unprofessional people there. But I don't want to trash anybody, but you're in the media section and you go up and say, first of all, there were people that were standing trying to like desperately ask John Cena a question. And like your media, your front row, you're literally front row. Sit down. I'm media.
I don't know what front process goes through for credentialing.
Yeah, I don't understand. And then they finally get to go ask John Cena a question, and it's like, can you sign my jersey, bro? Come on.
Well, they blew up online.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. I saw multiple videos of it.
Beautiful
jersey. Multiple videos. Even came up today.
So, I mean, good kudos to them for getting their signature, but I feel like...
Hey, shoot your shot, kid.
And then after the John Cena Q&A, I headed down towards the Dick's Sporting Goods stage. They had Undertaker on Insight with Chris Van Vliet. That is where I saw the Damar Hamlin show. That wasn't packed at all. The Undertaker one was beyond packed. Well, I shouldn't say beyond packed, but it was like packed enough to the point where I couldn't stay at that either.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught a little bit of that.
You couldn't sit down at all?
Did I sit down, or are you saying, are there...
No, any... you couldn't?
Not for that, no, because that was just a standing stage.
That's so stupid to have to only have standing room only for things like this.
Yeah, and they added these walks of fame this year. So there's like aisles that are cleared out where the celebrities will walk backstage basically. And because of that, you're like cut off like every so often to where then you have to go all the way and loop around to get to the next side of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at one point, for me to go from the WWE booth, like, where the stage was, is literally, like, on the other side of that is the center stage. At mm-hmm. one point, for me to have gone from the WWE's part to center stage, I had to walk all the way to the front.
No way.
Yeah. And then back.
Like, the front entrance?
Not the front entrance, but, like, the front where you go up on the main floor.
That's wild.
So that sucked. ESPN had a WWE booth where you could like jump off and get a trading card made, which was a really cool experience. I waited over an hour for that. I didn't expect it to be over an hour a wait for that like that. Wow. Because the line when I was there looked pretty small. But then...
Is there anything on the back of it?
Is there anything
like anything written on the back of your card?
I don't recall. I'm not 100%
sure. I haven't
seen
any pictures of the back of it, so I wasn't sure if like they added anything specific to the back of it too about like maybe the Fanatics Fest or anything.
I'll have to check later, but there's like it comes in a top loader and everything, so I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
And also I found out after the fact they have an experience for ADA people where you don't have to wait on the line, and if you're not going to jump, obviously some people with ADA they can't even climb up the steps. They have another photo option where you could get your card taken. So I thought that was a cool aspect as well. While Smart. I was waiting on that line, Danhausen paraded by. So that was an interesting aspect, and I didn't even see like the rest of the Danhausen stuff until when I got home.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool. And then the Knicks also paraded by. So I saw some of them with the trophy and like people like they were mobbed. So I thought that was cool experience over there.
I saw Kat in your video.
Yeah, Kat was there. Very Brunson's cool. In that video as well. I don't know.
The
Larry O'Brien trophy is there. I yelled at a guy in front of me online mm-hmm. because I saw this guy quickly take out his cell phone and like go to take a picture. And because it's Fanatics Fest, I'm like, oh, maybe there's a celebrity over there. And this dude ends up taking creepy photos of women. And I made him delete the photos. I'm like, excuse me. And he, like, moved out of the way as if I was going to try to get by. And I was like, no, 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 delete those. And then he played dumb as if, like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I'm like, I was getting really pissed off. I'm still, like, really pissed off.
How old of a person?
I don't even know if he was, like, 40s or so. He was with a woman. I don't know what the relationship was between the two of them. She seemed mm-hmm. oblivious to it, but, like, I'm... yelling with expletives. Are you not curious as to why I'm yelling at this person with expletives? And his excuse, but they're in public.
stupid.
And then he wanted to send them to his brother. I was like, you're not sending them to anybody. You're deleting those photos.
No, you freaking go to Pornhub.com.
I don't understand. Like, I didn't understand that at all. And then the dad that was in front of me says to his son, well, see, kid, that's what you get for being creepy.
Yeah. Don't be creepy, you know?
I couldn't believe that. I truly couldn't believe that.
Did the people that he was taking a picture of say anything or no?
They didn't know. They were all the way. We were online. Mm-hmm. Beyond us is an aisle way to walk. And then they were in, like, on the other side of that where, like, the exhibit, another exhibit was.
Mm-hmm. Was it, like, an upskirt picture?
No, but they were pictures of their butts.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Zoomed in, all the way zoomed in. And I'm like, what is this guy doing? I thought maybe the first picture was a mistake. And by the second picture, I was like, nah, hell no. But of two different women.
Stupid. Just disgusting.
Yeah.
You know?
And then...
disgusting. Good on you for being a mensch.
And then after that, after that experience was done, I went to... I went downstairs. They were doing free photo ops throughout the show where people really didn't know where the photo ops were. Some people were the hometown village or whatever. And you would go down there. I went to the Mets booth thinking Howard Johnson, a former Met, would be by the Mets booth. And the woman goes, oh, you're the third person to ask where this was. I have no idea where it was. I think the photo ops are over there. I was like, I don't think the photo ops are over there. The photo ops over there are the paid photo ops. So I finally find somebody that knew where the actual Howard Johnson photo op was. And it was like the quickest line. Like, he was friendly as can be. Honestly, that was a really good experience. And I walk up there, he goes, hey, that's a great beard. I was like, I appreciate you saying that. And it's funny because somebody else before me had the Undisputed Championship with them. And he was like a kid in a candy store. I don't know if Howard Johnson watches pro wrestling. It didn't seem like he knew what it was. But he was like kind of marking out looking at it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really cool thing. But... another thing that they had at Fanatics Fest, they had activations all around, and some of the activations were from Fanatics Collect, and when I signed into my account, it logged me out, and it wouldn't let me log back in.
Oh.
They sent me to the Topps booth, and they're like, well, we can't do anything here, so I contacted support. I still have not heard anything back about my account, so currently I am locked out of Fanatics Collect.
Jeez.
So I don't know what the hell is going on there. And it sucks because I saw multiple people win the grand prizes, which sounded like they maybe got a chance to get a one out of one card or something. And I could swear there was something with Seth Meyers being in that grand prize. I'm not 100% sure what it was. Like, I don't know if he like presented it to you or something, but that was unfortunate that I couldn't participate in that. The most sought after item at Fanatics Fest seemed to be a Target tote bag that people were opening and then stuffing every single Target tote bag in. So you literally,
I don't understand that.
I don't either. Like a normal person, you take one. I couldn't find any because people were taking at least like 50.
Yeah, I saw videos of people just having just an insane amount.
I truly don't understand that. I think this year, I feel like it was much bigger. I was able, I did cramp up a lot, but I was able to rest also before heading back to Penn Station. So that was like, that did wonders for me.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I thought it was a great experience. I was a fan. I obviously wish we could have gotten closer and like had more interactions with the athletes there. So had it not been as noisy as it was, where that Howard Johnson meet and greet was, I would have asked him for a bumper and I feel like he would have done it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just not worth it because of the inability to hear and stuff like that.
Yeah, so all in all, I enjoyed Fanatics Fest. I heard rumors that next year they might be including WWE Legends and maybe more of a WWE World experience because of WrestleMania being where it is.
Ah, gotcha.
So we'll have to wait on that. And then Sunday I went to a barbecue and at my aunt and uncle's house, and that was my week. How about yourself?
Nice. I feel like for WWE's presence, I would like a lot more.
There's no there. I understand like space is limited and everything, but with the actual space that was used for other things, I feel like there's no reason why live matches aren't taking place.
Yeah, it's something like they do at
Access WWE World now, but yeah. And again, it doesn't have to be like, I was going to say John Cena, that would be a stupid thing to say because he is retired, but like, you don't need, like Roman Reigns is there, LA Knight's there, you don't need main roster people wrestling
NXT
there.
NXT people.
Yeah, you just need NXT Evolve, WWE ID, AAA, and then all of those guys and girls, they get free photo ops there. They do free photo ops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a simple thing to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that for me, I would enjoy the experience more if there was more representation of WWE there.
I mean, there was a lot of WWE representation there this year. And that is another thing that kind of sucked because like I'm going there specifically for pro wrestling, and then there were multiple pro wrestling events scheduled at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I couldn't go to see John Cena, I couldn't go see Logan Paul, I couldn't go see Undertaker at the same exact time. I'm almost certain those three were at the same time.
Of course.
As soon as on Saturday, Stephanie McMahon was there. I was supposed to go to see Stephanie McMahon on Thursday. Her show they made an announcement with like 10 minutes till the show started. They're like, the show here is postponed. And they didn't say when a time. They just kept saying, check the app. And I kept checking the app. The app never updated.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly thought that show didn't happen until I got home and I saw that the show did happen. So that was unfortunate mm-hmm. that I didn't get to see that. So
I feel like for me, I would have liked to seen some like historic attire or a championship.
Yeah, that'd be awesome also.
You know, like that's the thing. Like they have the space because they have on display all of those championships, WWE championships that they have like on sale, like the Knicks, the Rangers, they have like a lot of sporting
that
teams.
Ugly
that
ugly ass
even
FIFA
aren't.
One that that was
yeah,
on sale.
But they have like they have so many ones that aren't even Knick related, or I'm sorry, New York related up there, and I feel like. Even in that space, if you knock out some of the championships that
wait. You don't even need to knock anything out. There was excess space over there.
Yeah.
There was excess space where you could have easily gotten some attires over there.
And that's the thing. I think that using that area would have been really cool to have.
But then again, you know? I feel like if you do that for WWE, then like why aren't you... I mean, some of them... There are... I think some of them, like, I did see some game-used jerseys here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like they could have easily done stuff like that. You don't need, like, 1,000 outfits. You could have just done a few.
No, you don't need everything out there. Just a few, you know. Just a few. Very cool.
And then,
by the way,
I went on Saturday night. I wanted to get home to watch Saturday night's main event. I stopped off at the Garden first to see if I could buy merchandise, and they weren't letting people in until 6 p.m. So I couldn't even get in there to look at the merch.
And that sucks. Well, that's one thing that I saw, that the merch at Fanatics Fest was just insanely priced. Like that Danhausen
one. No, I don't think they were insanely priced. I think that Danhausen shirt was a one-off. It was a Ramones t-shirt.
Well, I mean,
it must have been limited.
Was that at Fanatics Fest or was that at MSG?
No, that was Fanatics Fest. And then they did sell, kudos to WWE and Fanatics, they did sell Fanatics Fest merchandise on Fanatics website and WWE shop that I missed out on because it sold out, but whatever. But kudos, because last year, I don't think I don't think they sold the merch online in all sizes. This year they did.
Yeah, that is a great thing that they did. I mean, I don't know. For me, a $75 shirt is just a lot. No,
that, and that shirt wasn't online either, so that was like event exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sold those the Funko Pops for $200 each. I think they were limited to like $250.
Wow.
That's a crazy price, but...
Yeah.
But how was your week?
It was good. It was very good. Very busy. We had PT Mega Review, so I had class over 5 hours on Saturday and over 5 hours on Sunday. Busy. And I think this weekend I may end up watching the WWE Unreal on Netflix that got released, but I haven't watched the season one either, so we'll see.
You're missing two seasons then.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't know. For me, it's not. I don't know if I'm into it. But something that I am into is Saturday night main event taking place at MSG on Saturday, if that was not a surprise to you.
I mean, next one is on a Sunday, so you never know.
No way. Stop.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
No, it's Sunday That's night's main event.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
People were like, why don't you just do Sunday night's heat? Blah, blah, blah. Well, because it's not the show they want.
Yeah. Stop it. Leave us alone.
But throughout the night, they showed off a bunch of the athletes and celebrities that were there. Obviously, Fanatics Fest was at the same exact time. The World Cup was at the exact same time. So Michael Rubin was there. You had Lin-Manuel Miranda, Jeff Ross, Cooper DeJean, James Harrison, Chuck Liddell was in the background over there. A bunch of there other athletes.
So many athletes that really was a confusion as to why they were there.
Why?
When they weren't even... Well, there were so many non-New York people that were in the crowd where it was just like, just because they were in town, they put them on screen.
Oh, yeah, that kid got booed big time. I thought that was funny.
I would have put Chuck Liddell definitely on screen more.
Well, he must have requested to not, because they didn't mention him at all, so he must have requested to not be mentioned.
No way, because he still posed behind him. He still did his like trademark like fist up kind
of.
Yeah,
but that was just like, I mean, Sam Roberts was also back there, so like I feel like if he wanted to have been like featured on camera, then they would have mentioned him by name.
I don't know. I think that they messed up not doing him.
I feel like that's on him. But they added a match on the kickoff show, so we got to see Trick Williams. I want to say make his Madison Square Garden debut. I'm not 100% sure. Pick up the victory over Laredo Kid. I thought that was a really cool addition.
Yeah, Laredo Kid. I was not expecting him to have a matchup.
I would have marked out seeing that live. If I went the whole day not knowing that there was a kickoff show match, and then I get to the Garden and Laredo Kid is wrestling there, I would be freaking out. And also Trick Williams being literally like right in front of Trick Williams, he is an absolute freaking star. I can't, like, I don't know how much longer it's going to be until, obviously he's the US champion right now. He is like it. I can't wait to see him be like the guy in WWE.
Yeah, he is so over.
But like listening to him talk and everything, it's just like it's there. Everything is there.
Yeah. He has that it factor that everybody tosses the word around. Like, Trick Williams, he has that it factor.
Yeah. And then obviously I saw people...
Around, he could do anything.
I saw people complaining about this match taking place, but to me, this is just one of those one-off matches from Saturday night's main event that screams Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, I mean, this entire card really does scream Saturday night's main event.
100%. I mean, you're not going in. We spoke about it last week. It was like, to me, I grew up watching random-ass matches on Saturday night's main event. Like, this is nothing new.
I mean, you're not going into this expecting to see SummerSlam or WrestleMania or Survivor Series caliber matches. You know, maybe one, but you're definitely expecting to see the names that would be featured there, but guess what? You had all of the names featured. You had Cody, Punk, Gunther, Sammy, Dan. You had the big names, Oba, you know?
Yeah, and then Oba did an interview with Stephanie McMahon and really just hyped up SummerSlam. It was a good hype-up segment in Madison Square Garden for Oba Femi.
Yeah, I mean, Trick Williams is over, but Oba is over as well.
Yeah.
Next up, you had Fatal Influence pick up the victory over Paige and Brie Bella to become the new tag team champions in that women's division. And I got to say, well deserved.
I didn't think you were going to say that. That's funny. But yeah,
I think that they definitely, Fatal Influence definitely deserves it.
Yeah, and I like this match. I wish J.C. Jane got involved. I ranted about that last week. Brie saved Paige from a moonsault from Lainey Reed, and then J.C. got involved again, and Fallon Henley was able to take Paige down. She did get back up, and J.C. ends up reversing that pin when the referee wasn't looking. So that's how they got the win.
That was very close, too.
Fallon got busted the hell open from something. I don't know what she got busted open from. That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, good to note, hey, fans, even if you're sitting in the front row, keep your hands off
also,
of the
Also, you're
talent.
A little kid.
Keep your hands off of anybody.
I give him some leeway there because he's a small child, but also at the same time, maybe like now is the time to learn.
Yeah, stop. You know, I mean, even if you take this little kid away, there's so many instances where fans put their hands on pro wrestlers when it's just totally inappropriate. Like, these aren't people, you may watch them every single day of your life. Doesn't mean that they know you. Don't touch them.
I believe the kid also threw something at JD McDonough.
Yeah, I think he may have pushed him or something like that. There was something with that too, which, don't get me wrong, as a kid, okay, you want to try to like go at it with these people, especially the heels, you know, like, but even still, there has to be the parent there saying, hey, come on, no, or security, like, is it time that we need more security at
these
events?
Yeah, but what are you gonna do, like punch the kid in the face and throw him out? I don't know.
I would tell them stay in your seat, you know. I would say stay in your seat, but also it looked like the entrance was a little bit narrow.
It's the current garden setup, really.
Yeah, I think that it has to be. Yeah, I think it has to stop being so narrow at these events, especially at MSG.
I like the look of that. Next match, we saw Danhausen pick up the victory over JD McDonagh in a street fight. I think Danhausen's Knicks gear was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Dominic Mysterio distract Danhausen at the start, and then he also got involved in the match. And he ended up wiping his shoes with the Knicks jersey, the Danhausen Knicks jersey that he stole. That got him good heat Not in the cool. garden. JD McDonagh wiped his butt with the jersey. That got him good heat.
And this was such a fun, even before we even progressed to the end and stuff, so far, everything that you said, it was pure entertainment. And you have all these people, critics, saying they're going too hard on Danhausen. They're stuffing Danhausen down your throats. They're putting him out. They're exhausting us with Danhausen.
I think they are
jealous. The reality
jealous.
Is that it's not.
I think it's jealousy he sat in another company unused, and here he is, one of the most over people in WWE. And
yeah, the truth is that he's not being, like, to us fans, he's not being shoved down our throats. We want to see this stuff with Danhausen. It's entertaining. I feel like maybe even 1 year ago, I feel like the comedic aspect and stuff within WWE, I would bash and I would say, Colt Cabana, not a fan. Like, and I don't understand the comedy aspect in this. But I feel like with the Danhausen, it's reminding me of the entertainment factor of being a pro wrestling fan, and I'm all for it. I really like it.
Yeah. So he ended up, JD McDonagh ended up missing a moonsault over there. Danhausen put the jersey on, and he attacked both of them. Dom ends up attacking him again. They rip the jersey off of him. They went for tables. Danhausen made his way up to the cloning machine. And they pull out tables. A bunch of Minihausen show up. And they fight them off. Danhausen gets that stuffed cat that we saw on SmackDown into the cloning machine with the Knicks jersey. The lights go out. And Karl Anthony Towns makes the save.
Not
face paint, but still.
That, yeah, that I was actually surprised at, that he didn't have the face paint, but also on the other hand, I get it.
And yeah, so Kat made his way down to the ring with Danhausen, or vice versa, I should say. Danhausen was following him. He chokeslammed JD McDonagh. He chokeslammed Dominic Mysterio through the table. Looked fantastic.
It, dude, those chokeslams were better than some of the pro wrestlers' chokeslams that we've seen. Like, and of course, you could say that it was totally
JD McDonagh. I think, obviously, they want to sell the best for Kat.
So. Yeah, but, I mean, the selling of that, fantastic. Yeah. And Kat's selling of him delivering it was
not
incredible.
Not a single moment was he off cue or anything. He did the "you are cursed" at the exact same moment he was supposed to.
Yeah.
That whole
I liked
thing,
him going,
if you go to the Fanatics Fest, if you rewind to that, Logan Paul and Tom Brady. First of all, let me rewind further. Tom Brady misses his cue for his entrance at the podcast with Cody Rhodes. He comes out way too early. Then you fast forward to him and Logan Paul doing whatever they're doing. That slap was awful. That slap was absolutely awful. They're talking about putting him at SummerSlam, which I don't mind because who cares? It's a celebrity involvement. We've seen it since the beginning of time.
You know what? And look at Logan Paul and Stephen Amell, and there's so many involvements.
Don't put them in the same category as Tom Brady in pro wrestling. That slap was absolutely awful. It was one of the worst worked slaps I've ever seen.
That's just one instance. I'm not going to criticize until the actual in-ring stuff. I'm going to be an open mind, but, you know.
But Kat
be an
was
open-minded
not,
person. But
Kat was great.
The thing I really liked with Kat is he even went to the turnbuckle and he just did his. He was like the Big Show doing the hand raise, like choke slam. I'm raising my hand, and it just looks so good. And then when he went to the turnbuckle, it kind of made me realize how tall this guy really is.
That's what makes you realize.
I'm like,
what do you mean?
I don't know. It was just because like it's less visually.
Not him towering over other players in an NBA basketball game.
I mean, in a pro wrestling ring, him going to the top, hit the bottom rope and raising his hand, I was just like, it's just incredible. But a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Next up, you had Lyra Valkyria pick up the victory over Bayley. And, I mean, you mentioned before about being busted open. Lyra Valkyria. Uh-huh. Whew.
I was surprised how split this crowd was.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting that, but this match I thought was great. I thought whenever this was announced, I was like, I really wish I could see this match live. And then I remembered like, oh, they're probably not going to get a lot of time. I forgot that they're no longer on NBC. So this got the time I think it needed. And I thought this was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bayley, I mean, she popped Lyra in her nose. That must have, I mean, I think that's what busted her open. That was absolutely insane. And it was just like full throttle that whole time. Even like they're trying to like slow it down and like stop the bleeding. They kept going. And not once was it like it didn't feel like a lull in the match, even though there were moments like that for Lyra. But I thought this was like, she reversed the Bayley to belly with that choke, and the referee called for the bell, and then Lyra locked it in again afterwards outside the ring, and she hit Nightwing on the steps, and now everybody again is saying Bayley's going to AEW, and I truly hope that's not the case. I really hope that's not the last time we see her, and I truly hope that she re-signs with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was a fantastic match.
Yeah, I agree with you, and we'll see what happens with the future. I think that, to me, the crowd wasn't.
I mean, they were. They were chanting, "Let's go, Bayley! Let's go, Lyra!"
Yeah,
I wasn't expecting that at all.
So for me, I expected more, but I think that the involvement of her nose breaking, I feel like it happened at such a big moment of the matchup where I do feel like that kind of slowed down the pace that they did have. And that took me out of the match personally. Next up, you had the main event of the evening for match-wise. Cody Rhodes and CM Punk picked up the victory over Gunther and Sami Zayn. And, you know, this match delivered, even with the opening with the promo backstage with Punk and Cody doing the Legion of Doom. Well, like, it was a total Legion of Doom promo that they did.
Yeah, and then this match started right away. I like their Knicks gear, by the way, Cody and Punk. And I thought this was really entertaining. The rules, though, were really out the door here. Like, this was a very chaotic match. Sammy hit CM Punk with the Huluva kick, and then Cody hit that Crossroads. Gunther took him down. Punk hit a GTS, and then everybody was down. I thought the sleeper spot was really well done. That happened when Charles Robinson was down, and then we saw Gunther knock Cody off the apron with CM Punk, and eventually Cody did get the tag. He hit a Crossroads. Later, he went for the disaster kick, accidentally kicked CM Punk, and then Gunther grabbed the WWE Championship. He smacked Cody Rhodes with it. He powerbombed Cody, and if Gunther and Sami Zayn won this match, they were getting into that main event match at SummerSlam. The referee counts 1-2 and then gets pulled out of the ring, Nick Aldis. Not expecting that at all. I know people are, well, how, why, he's so stupid, he waited under the ring, blah, 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 whatever. It's pro wrestling. And he clocked Gunther with that WWE Championship, and CM Punk hit the GTS, and and then you fast forward to Fanatics Fest, that match got made as a official, Gunther versus Nick Aldis.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this match, we saw CM Punk and Cody celebrating. CM Punk accidentally whipped Cody in the face with that strap. And they argued backstage, and they argued on the stage at Fanatics Fest as well, and then kind of got into it.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that there was so much in this that was exciting and good.
Yeah.
One of the biggest moments for me, I loved the breaking up the pin stuff. That I loved. I don't know if I've seen that enough where Gunther broke up Gunther was in a submission, and to get out of it, he got Sammy out of that submission. So this way Sammy could get Gunther out of his submission. Like, it was just great ring, what is it, ring awareness?
I guess, technically.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that too often, but I thought that was great.
And then the closing segment, Roman Reigns, the OTC, and the MVP, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's entrance was absolutely fire. I thought that was really cool. I liked the backstage, the acknowledgement of Danhausen. That popped me big time. And, they go to the ring. Roman Reigns hypes up New York City. He hypes up Jalen Brunson, presented him with his own championship, which you could buy on WWE Shop and Fanatics. And then Seth Rollins' music hits. We were going back and forth last week. Like, I didn't think it could be Seth Rollins in that spot, but, like, it kind of had to be Seth Rollins in that spot. So Rollins' music hits. It was Tyrese Halliburton who showed up. I got what I wanted. And he came out with a chair, and Seth Rollins attacked Roman Reigns from behind. And he went to stomp Roman onto that chair. Jalen Brunson stopped it. And then Roman hits a Superman punch, a spear. And then they both held up each other's chair. Well, Roman held up the Larry trophy first. JB held up the World Heavyweight Championship. People spoke so much trash about this show going into it. I thought this whole show was just top to bottom fantastic. I don't like basketball, but I thought everything they did was fantastic. Yeah, I can understand if you're not from incredible. New York, maybe you were like, who cares about any of this?
Yeah, so for me, I thought this was fantastic. Their involvement, their showing of the NBA clips was really unexpected for me. And I didn't expect him to actually show Jalen Brunson playing in the NBA on the live broadcast. And his entire walkout,
and you could tell
with Kat.
Yeah, you could tell he's trying hard not to mark out.
Oh, all of them were marking out hard. And then the one thing that was a little bit sour was we got to work on Jalen's acting ability, but what do you expect? You know, like during that ending, there could have been a little bit more, you know, but
it's funny because
it was just so much
fun. If you see the shot of Roman Reigns post being taken down from Seth Rollins, it looks like Jalen Brunson turned on Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And I got good use out of that picture. I sent that to a few people, and they were like, "What do you mean he turned heel?" And I was like, "Nah, he didn't turn heel."
Yeah, that's the one thing that I feel like I would have liked him. I don't know. Maybe there should have been more animosity of Tyrese and Jalen.
But again,
like, during that time, maybe Jalen needed to. Well, yeah, no physical aspect, but maybe Jalen had to overact a little bit more towards Tyrese instead of just standing there. But, right. I mean, Jalen's very... I mean, I feel like, on the other hand, Tyrese and Jalen are two totally different people, where Tyrese is very... He's a personality.
Brunson is more straight-faced, yeah.
Yeah, Brunson, like, if you ever listen to his conferences, he's very quiet. Like, he's the opposite. That's why him and Josh Hart are so hilarious, because Josh Hart is that character, while Jalen's just the deadpan of it, you know? I thought that, like you said, if I wasn't from New York, all right, I get it. Maybe this wasn't the best one for me, you know? Obviously, like, if this was Boston Celtics or Miami Heat or whatever else, like if this was in San Antonio and this was the Spurs, yeah, I'm not going to really be thrilled about this. But, hey, Knicks in five. I'm a fan of this.
So moving over from Saturday night's main event to Monday Night Raw, it kicked off with The Vision picking up the victory over Javon Evans and Dragon Lee, who started this match, like, I mean, before the match even began. And Dragon Lee had that advantage for the quick second. I think the quickness of Dragon Lee is always so impressive, especially in a match with Bron Breakker, who was also, like, very quick. But Logan Paul got involved. I think Javon Evans was great in this match as well. And they got a lot more in than I was expecting them to. But ultimately, they lost after Logan Paul got involved again, and Maxxine Dupri ended up pulling Dragon Lee. So I thought this was a fine match. And then afterwards, we saw The Vision continue the attack, and Alpha Academy made the save, where Otis had control for a bit, and they went to put Austin Theory through the table. Bron Breakker came back, and he speared Otis. And then Austin Theory knocked Akira Tozawa out.
I thought that this was a lot of... This was just an incredible time. And I thought that this was a great opener.
After that, we had another vignette for Big Cass, where they actually showed him and they addressed him turning heel, getting injured, and then his personal life and the things that he had to overcome there. And they said in this, even if you haven't reached the top, you have no idea... You have no idea just how far you have to fall, or how far you can fall, or something like that. So, again, second week in a row that we're seeing this vignette. No Enzo. So, I don't know if we're getting Enzo.
At this point, I got to say what I said last week. I think that we're just dealing with Cass right now.
We shall see.
I got to... You know, I feel like right now we're just dealing with Cass, even from all of the promos that were, you know, even all the clips are specifically focused on Big Cass and really Big Cass's supposed being a big disappointment and letdown and, I guess, a failure within the WWE and pro wrestling because of his obstacles that he had in front of you in front of him that he had to overcome. And they're really playing up that character. So because of all of that, I don't think that Enzo is involved in this right now.
Well, we have the night after SummerSlam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After that, we had Danhausen, yeah. And the Judgment Day threatened him. And they said that they better get their money back or else. And he went to the ring with a bag, and he went to give away the money to the fans. And then the Judgment Day came out. He cursed them, but they jumped him, and Joe Hendry made the save, and the money wasn't even real. And then backstage, JD McDonagh threw the bag and accidentally hit Obafemi, so I thought that was really funny.
That was...
And it sets
Danhausen's reaction of facials. His facial reactions were hilarious during this.
And it sets up Obafemi versus JD McDonagh, which Dom didn't think was fair, so Pierce also set up Dominic Mysterio versus Joe Hendry, but you go to Obafemi versus JD McDonagh, it was a very, very, very quick match. Mm-hmm. Like, really nothing to even talk about in the match.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah, this was just squash. Total squash.
And then later on, we saw Joe Hendry pick up the victory over Dominic Mysterio. We saw Liv Morgan attack Joe Hendry during the match. Danhausen showed up, and he went to curse Liv Morgan. Liv popped him in the face. But eventually, Danhausen came back out with Io Sky, and she brawled with Liv Morgan. That's the kind of involvement that I'm fine with.
Yeah, this was just incredible, you know? Just incredible.
And then he hit the triple D on Dom, and Hendry pinned Dominic Mysterio. And people were like, he's buried.
I thought that
they buried Dominic Mysterio.
Can you bury Dominic Mysterio?
I don't think so.
Like, is that... Yeah, I don't think that that's really possible to bury Dominic Mysterio. You know, I thought that this was a solid showing, you know. And seeing this matchup really made me realize how much of a powerhouse Joe Hendry really is. And I feel like it's weird because he's not a powerhouse in the, so to speak, like Obafemi or Brock Lesnar or British Bulldog even. But his physique is thick and he still has a lot of power. And a lot of his movesets are all powerhouse movesets that you would see from somebody that was like British Bulldog. So I think that I would really want to see more of that from Joe Hendry, and I want to see where they can capitalize with it.
And but then next week they're going to have a concert.
The Danhausen and Joe Hendry concert. You know, I guess it's probably going to lead to them versus Dom and
I think
JD.
No, isn't that?
No,
don't they already have matches at SummerSlam? Danhausen facing JD.
It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be.
Oh, at SummerSlam. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be SummerSlam. It doesn't have to be SummerSlam.
I meant Dominic, by the way, not JD.
Yeah. Next up, you had Chad Gable and Penta pick up the victory over Ethan Page and Rusev.
I think given their upcoming match, Gable was the standout here. But I think Ethan Page and Rusev worked well again as a team. Penta took Ethan Page out with the Mexican Destroyer off of Chad Gable's back while Chad Gable was locking in an ankle lock. I thought that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gable made Rusev tap out. That whole ending, I thought, I was such a fan of that ending.
I agree with you.
I thought it was so well done.
I agree.
Earlier in the night, we saw Solo Sikoa show up, and he called Seth Rollins out and said that he can watch Seth's back at SummerSlam since obviously it's not going to be one-on-one when you're in the ring with Roman Reigns. And Seth was like, I'll think about it, and he went to walk off, and Solo's like, there's nothing to think about. And he brought up Seth Rollins doing this for Cody Rhodes. Jacob Fatu then showed up, and Solo took off, and Jacob Fatu told Solo, like, you know what you need to do. And then Seth briefly took Jacob Fatu down and then left.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, he teased Jacob Fatu for being under orders of Roman Reigns to not touch him. And then he asked if Jacob Fatu, he asked if he gets Jacob, when he beats Roman. To, like, rub that in his face. So.
Yeah.
And then we had a segment with LA Knight where he questioned Solo offering what he offered to Seth Rollins, and he said that he already has a hard time trusting Solo Sikoa, and he spoke about Roman Reigns, and he said everything Roman wishes he could be is what he is. And he said Solo is focused on the wrong thing. And then we go into the match where LA Knight picks up the victory over Jacob Fatu, where Jimmy Uso eventually showed up to rally Jacob Fatu. Solo showed up from behind and attacked him. And then Jacob Fatu took out Solo. Jimmy distracted the referee when LA Knight maybe had it won. We had Royce Keith show up and they brawled and Jay came out to fight. LA Knight took him down and Jacob Fatu took him down with the moonsault. And Jacob Fatu gets the victory there. And I almost feel like I said at the beginning, Jacob Fatu lost, but Jacob Fatu beat LA Knight there.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a good match, but
it's more, I mean, obviously worst... we know this is more so building up that six-man tag for SummerSlam. Even afterwards, Solo Sikoa attacked Jacob Fatu. Jimmy broke that up. Royce Keyes took out the Usos. Jacob Fatu got taken down by Royce Keyes, and then the Usos took Royce Keyes down. LA Knight came back, and Jacob Fatu hit that Tongan death grip. And then maybe kind of surprised that Seth Rollins didn't show up. But then again, it makes sense because Roman Reigns isn't there.
And you're looking for the 3-on-3. You're looking for the 3-on-3. You know? The one thing, I think that the WWE ruined Solo Sikoa when they gave him a microphone. Like in NXT, if they kept on going with the NXT version of Solo, I think it would have been better than how he is right now.
I think this is you. No, because he's being. I was going to bring up Big E, where when he came to the main roster, he's like NXT Solo, but online, he's like a completely different person. I don't know if that's what you're like talking about here or not, but because I think Solo is really funny on the microphone and stuff.
I don't think he has to be, though. I feel like I don't think it's necessary either,
but I'm completely fine with where Solo Sikoa is on the microphone here.
I don't know.
I mean, you have to also, especially because of his brothers and because of Roman Reigns, I feel like you have to have him. You can't just have him not talk. We saw that.
I don't know. I see him as a...
We saw that already for years.
I see him as a silent but deadly kind of a character.
No, we saw that for years. If he was still that, there's no development there.
True.
And then outside of stuff with Liv Morgan and Io, all the women's stuff took place during commercial breaks, and I feel like not having a match is stupid. We just said that a few weeks ago. Storyline-wise...
Yeah, especially coming off of...
I get where they're at, but... with the few weeks to SummerSlam, but they like the very least you could have done was have Lyra Valkyria just like snap on somebody and have that match get like thrown out as a no contest.
Or just have her do something.
Like the very least you could have done. I thought that was garbage that there was no women's match. Like I understand that storyline wise. I literally just said it. I understand where you're at, but brother. It's 2026. We know, like, you have to know there's going to be backlash. You have to be able to, like, you need to find a way to put them in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's not even that difficult to do.
No.
So, moving over to NXT. Kicked off with Dark State picking up the victory over Saquon Sugars, Noam Dar, and Romeo Moreno. Sugar started the fight during Dark State's entrance, and he got shut down. This was not a street fight or anything, but it was very, very chaotic. This was very hard to follow.
Yeah, there was so much going on, and I didn't even know where to focus because I wanted to focus time watching like Moreno, but then I also wanted to watch everything taking place with the Sugars. And it was very chaotic.
I think in a Dark State match, it makes sense, but it was very, very chaotic. I had a feeling that it was going to be Moreno eating that pin, and Sugars drove Lennox through the platform at one point. That was an unexpected moment in this match, but Moreno was the one who lost.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had Kendall Gray and Ren Sinclair with Lola Vice, and Kendall said that unlike Lola, she doesn't need years to prove that she belongs in NXT. And Lola said that with or without the title, she still looks like a champion. Kendall said that she doesn't think anybody can beat her at her best. And Lola said that Kendall beat her in a match. She can't do it in a fight. And it sets up the Underground for the championship.
Makes sense.
And I feel
makes
like
sense that it heads to that.
I feel like that's like what Lola Vice was saying here doesn't really make sense. We literally know Kendall's background in wrestling. So I feel like maybe you're underestimating Kendall there.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. Next up, you had Keanu Carver pick of the victory over Hank Walker. Carver carved up Walker in this one.
Yeah, this was good for him. He got to show off his strength against a big guy like Hank.
Mm-hmm,
he continued the attack afterwards. Tank got involved. He got shut down. And then EK Prosper came out, and that led him to that led to Hank and Tank coming back and taking out Carver.
Yeah.
We had a backstage segment with Shiloh Hill where he visited Danhausen for a tooth. I thought that was a very good tie in there.
That was unexpected, you know?
And then he kind of turned into like a zombie, kind of, and stole the KFC popcorn chicken.
I thought that was funny where Danhausen was just like, was that a cursed tooth or uncursed tooth? You know?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. I forgot what he charged him to. Bitcoin.
Yeah.
He paid him in Bitcoin. I thought that was funny. I liked how Shiloh was just like, it was probably stolen or something.
Yeah. That was Danhausen's first time on NXT. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I thought they nailed it. But next up, you had Jada Parker pick up the victory over Natty.
Speaking of great.
A big win for Parker.
I liked how hard-hitting that, like, both of them were very hard-hitting in this match.
Mm-hmm. This was really a hard-hitting match, and it was a great showing for Jada Parker and Natty, but, I mean, Natty, future Hall of Famer, Jada Parker really showed that she belongs exactly where she's at and that she's going to do so much more.
Yeah, Jada at one point took her eyes off Natty and went and focused on Carmen Petrovic, which that then allowed for Natty to work on Jada's leg. And I liked Jada Parker rolling through the sharpshooter, which eventually landed the Falcon Arrow. I thought that was really nice. And then I liked Jada Parker used her own sharpshooter. And then we go into that spot where Nikita Lyons, she's thinking about throwing in the towel for Natty. Carmen Petrovic would not let her do that. And then the towel gets thrown in. That's how Jada Parker wins the match. And we find out that it was Thea Hale who did it. Thea Hale had words with Natty before the match. So, if this leads to Natty versus Thea Hale, I'm all for that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that, you know? But next up you had
Sean Spears.
Hold on, lost my... Yeah, Sean Spears picked with a victory over Nico Vance, but it was by disqualification.
Sean Spears attacked Nico Vance from behind to start the match. Last week, we saw Sean Spears go to Full Sail University. I don't really know if that's like... I don't think that played into this at all. But I think everybody in this match, specifically in this match, all three of them played their parts so incredibly well. I think Izzy Dame was fantastic on the outside. Everything, her facials that she was making, I thought was like spot on. And at one point, Sean Spears grabbed his chair. Izzy gets up on the apron. You have Lizzie Rain run down to brawl with Izzy Dame. Sean Spears pulls an Eddie Guerrero. and gets Nico Vance DQ'd for the win. And I don't know if they even, like, they cut to commercial break even in that segment. Shawn Spears was still, like, selling that he was knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was so great, too.
Yeah.
Like, he was really selling getting hit with a chair that he didn't even get hit with.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we had Reina Volcan pick up the victory over Skylar Rae. I think Skylar Rae, I understand what this match was. Skylar Rae looked really good here, though. Obviously, this was more of a showcase for Reina, but I thought this was a very good match for Skylar Rae, and I hope that this means we'll see more of her. I don't think it will. As of right now, she did win LFG, so I really do wish. She's improved so much since we've last seen her, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like to see her. In my mind, I almost feel like it was a better match for her than it was for Volcan.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with you.
But Robert Stone throughout the night had been teasing. He'd been on the phone making sure everything was going to be smooth for something. And eventually an SUV pulls up. We go to the main event where Tony D'Angelo picked up the victory over Naraku in a street fight to retain that championship. That was crazy. Naraku started this match right off the bat with the Poison Mist. And no offense to what they did on Saturday night's main event in their street fight with Danhausen and JD McDonagh. This was a street fight. This is what I picture a street fight to be. Naraku controlled so much of this match. Tony did come back, and they made their way backstage during commercial break at one point. They had tables. They had a ladder. They had chairs. They had kendo sticks. They used the steps. They didn't do any of this on Saturday night's main event. So I really liked this match. Tony tried to put Naraku through the table. Naraku put him through it instead, and he went for that mist again. Tony blocked it with his hands and then wiped the mist in Naraku's eyes. And then Tony put him through a table, dead to rights, gets the victory. And that honestly shocked me because I thought we were walking away. I thought we were seeing Takahashi debut, helping Naraku win that championship, and Naraku walking off with that title.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we get a return of sorts, official debut. Mike Santana showed up. And I don't know if they lowered that crowd mic or not, but it didn't sound like he got the pop he deserved. Like, you could see people, like, marking out in the crowd, but I feel like that could have had more to it. And they didn't say his name.
Yeah,
obviously, his theme song says Santana in it. The Facebook WWE account says Mike Santana. So I really...
Oh, it does?
Yeah. So I really hope that we do see no name change there.
I know. It's one of those things where, like, I agree with you. I wanted more from his appearance, but also I'm nervous now about the entire aspect of them not saying his name. Like, we know his name. There's really no
reason. He's literally been there before. Literally on TV for NXT. Like, brother, come on.
Like, yeah.
They did at least acknowledge former TNA champion, but, like, at the same time, brother, come on. I mean, his theme song says Santana, so that's, like, that adds hope. So I'm happy to see Mike Santana. There were rumors. People like, oh, he's going to AEW. Hell yeah, we're welcoming him back. And then they're trashing him now, so like clockwork.
Yeah,
but that is NXT. Moving over to SmackDown, it kicked off with Nick Aldis and Gunther's contract signing for SummerSlam, and Adam Pearce said that Nick Aldis can't compete as a WWE superstar, and when he signs the contract, he relinquishes his duties as the general manager. And WWE is not responsible for what happens to him in the match. Gunther said that all of this is beneath him, and he should be focusing and preparing to win the WWE Championship at SummerSlam, but Nick Aldis screwed him. And he mentioned Nick Aldis being a former NWA champion, but he never made it to WWE. And he said he'll turn Nick Aldis into a legend, and he'll add him to that list with Goldberg, John Cena, AJ Styles. And Nick Aldis said that he has nothing to lose at SummerSlam. But when he beats Gunther, he's gonna just be somebody who lost to his boss. And this got physical. Gunther put Nick Aldis through the table. Sami Zayn backstage was furious. He demanded that Adam Pearce add him to the match at SummerSlam with Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, because Nick Aldis also screwed him at Saturday night's main event. And Adam Pearce said it's locked in, Cody Rhodes versus Punk. And Adam Pearce said there's a fatal four-way at the end of SmackDown. The winner of that match is going to face Sami Zayn to become number one contender at SummerSlam. So I'll put a pin there. After that, you had Brie Bella pick up the victory over Lainey Reed. Fatal Influence cut a promo beforehand about beating them on Saturday. And JC also said thanks to them, she's not in that ladder match at SummerSlam. And she also said the U.S. Championship will be hers in due time. The match, Lainey Reed attacked Brie Bella beforehand, but Brie took over, controlled, I would say, a majority of the match. And then you see Fallon Henley get involved to give Lainey a bit of control, but Brie was able to reverse that, take control again. JC got involved. Paige took her out. Lainey tried to cheat, and then I believe Paige reversed that pin to give Brie that win. Which, it's kind of unfortunate there, but Fatal Influence attacked them afterwards. Nikki Bella returned, and it sets up a six-woman tag match at SummerSlam. Kind of annoying that the tag team titles aren't actually involved here, but Nikki Bella just returned, so it makes sense. But at the same time, we need to see Fatal Influence actually win at SummerSlam, and I'm not 100% sure if that's going to happen. But that's like, to me, that's a necessary thing that needs to happen. You had Chelsea Green pick up the victory over Kiana James, who advanced to the SummerSlam match. I enjoyed this. Kiana James lost to Julia on main event this week, and I wish that feud went somewhere more on TV. And I feel like there was a little bit of this match that could have gone either way, but because of how Kiana James kind of just disappeared, I assumed it was going to be Chelsea getting that victory, and I have to now assume Chelsea Green's going to do something absolutely crazy in that ladder match. After that, you had Cody Rhodes and CM Punk come out. Cody brought up Punk's pipe bomb and said that he did all those things and dropped a nuke. And he said that he has to beat CM Punk at SummerSlam. Punk questioned if Cody did bigger and better things and said that it's not actually up to him to decide, it's for the people. And he said that he was watching Cody Rhodes in 2022, and because of seeing Cody come back to WWE, he saw a path back to WWE, and he followed Cody Rhodes. And he also said that nobody can touch him, not even Dusty's kid. That angered Cody, and I'm kind of surprised that didn't close the show. I thought it was good, but it didn't do, I don't want to say it didn't do much for me to push me for SummerSlam, but I feel like it was missing something. After that, we saw Charlotte Flair pick up the victory over Nia Jax via disqualification to advance to that ladder match. I would have much rather had seen Nia Jax than Charlotte Flair, and we're going to go into that match, I mean, our predictions next week, not knowing who the final person is. Because on SmackDown, there's one more spot. But Jade Cargill and the baddies came out. Nia Jax told them to mind their own business. Charlotte ended up having to fight them off. And then Jade ends up clocking Charlotte. And she hit Jaded to end that segment. So Charlotte Flair gets into the ladder match. That way, the main event saw Finn Balor pick up the victory over Damian Priest, Royce Keyes, and Trick Williams to move on to that number one contenders match with Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. If Royce Keyes won this, he would have had two matches at SummerSlam. Trick 100% should be at SummerSlam defending that championship. Like I said earlier, he is a star. Just waiting to explode there. And then the Judgment Day are defending the tag team titles on SmackDown next week before SummerSlam. So honestly, Finn Balor was the only person who made sense to win this. Solo Sikoa came out. The Usos showed up. LA Knight showed up. They all brawled. Damian Priest took them out with a dive to the outside, and then they brawled off to the back. And then it looked like Royce Keyes was about to win that match. Jacob Fatu pulled him off the pin. And then eventually Finn Balor hit the coup de grace on Damian Priest and got that victory there. So we're going to see Finn Balor versus Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. I think that's a cool match to see. But we'll see what comes of that. I have to assume Finn Balor's going over there. So that is SmackDown. I'm going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
This is Matt Hardy, the man who is stronger than death, and you are currently listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 807. Moving back to AAA from last week, it opened up with Rey Mysterio, and he called Andrea Bisarte out and offered her her contract back with a raise. And she accepted it, and then he addressed the Latin American Championship, and he said next month there will be, well, it started on this episode, there's multiple triple threat matches. The winners move on to a fatal four-way at Triple Mania. You're going to have La Parca, Mecha Wolf, Dragon Lee in a match, El Fiscal, Cruz del Toro, Psycho Clown in a match, Omos, Damian Priest, and Galeno, which is probably going to be a crazy match. That's like a crazy big man match there. And then the next match was El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. picking up the victory over Tejano Jr., as well as Abismo Negro Jr. And I was really hoping to see Tejano versus Dom before Triple Mania. I'll take this. I was happy seeing Tejano Jr. here. This was a fun match. Tejano superplexed Abismo Negro and Wagner dove onto him, but Tejano broke it up. Abismo tried to cheat multiple times, although it's a triple threat match, but he knocked Tejano out with the brass knuckles. He ate a Wagner driver to lose. We saw Laredo Kid and La Yedra pick up the victory over Fabi Apache and Joaquin Wild. I think this was cool because Wild literally trained under Gran Apache, which is Fabi's father. And La Hedra was trained by Laredo Kid. I would have been fine with either team winning this just because of those connections, but La Hedra has been trying to find a good partner to take the titles from Mr. Iguana and Lola Vice. So to me, that was the one that made sense. After that, there was a segment with Perros del Mal. Daga said that he's heard people ask what happened to Perros del Mal for years. And he gave the history of the group and why they formed in the first place. And he put over the new group. And he said that they're there to become everybody's nightmare. And then he accepted Dominic Mysterio's challenge. Dom came out. El Grande Americano came out. Los Americanos showed up from behind and they all brawled. So we will see that tag team match. Moving over to Impact Wrestling, it opened with AJ Francis and Kazarian picking up the victory over Elijah and Moose. This match was too short for me. I couldn't really get into it. There not much really took place, but Expressions helped AJ Francis beat Elijah, and then he got in the ring with the guitar. Moose took it from him, headbutted him, and Elijah tombstoned him. I feel like when all is said and done, I don't know how long he's going to be here for pro wrestling. He's quite good at being a pro wrestling manager. I say this every week now, especially since I don't know who he is, like outside of pro wrestling. I think he's doing a very good job there. After that, Elena Black versus Wendy Chu went to a time limit draw. So both of them got eliminated from that Knockouts TV title tournament. And I thought this was a really good match. And it's too bad that it ended in a draw. Elena Black hit the blackout. Wendy Chu rolled out of the ring. There was a superplex. Time ran out. Everyone wanted time to be added, and then Zaya Brookside showed up and attacked both of them. And then there was mutual respect between Elena Black and Wendy Choo, and I thought this was good. After that, the system came out, and I think Alicia Edwards is so good in her role. Like, it's very easy to hate Alicia Edwards. Bear Bronson spoke about what he did to Ricky Sosa last week. I thought that was a good promo. And then Brian Myers spoke about the roster changing in TNA, but the system's always going to be there dominating. Cedric Alexander said that if you want success in TNA, you have to go through them. Eddie said that they decide who belongs in TNA. He also spoke about Jada Stone's match coming up with Alicia Edwards. And then Ricky Sosa came out and said Brian is the only reason why he lost his match last week. Leon Slater came out, challenged him to a match. Eddie was like, nah, next week. So we'll see that match take place next week. And then later on, Jada Stone picked up the victory over Alicia Edwards to advance in that tournament. And I'm glad that she won. I feel like she should be used so much more. But Stone took Eddie Edwards out during the match. It did lead to her getting knocked down by Alicia Edwards. And I think they had decent back and forth here. And Stone got a win off of a reversal. It was kind of a quick victory there. Edwards attacked afterwards. And Stone fought back before Eddie Edwards saved Alicia. After that, we had the Righteous Deletion. And I enjoyed this. I liked the music in this whole package. They fought. The Righteous went to hit them with the dilapidated boat at one point. And the Hardys teleported. And the Righteous also had the power of teleportation. They fought in the Hardys ring. It cut to them around a fire talking like they were like old friends. And then Wolfie showed up, told Dutch that Vincent had died. And then Vincent, he goes to the casket. Vincent poisons Dutch. The Hardy kids and Rebby all attack Dutch. This was all part of a dream sequence. Willow showed up. They end up in the Lake of Reincarnation. They come out as the goats. Jeff Hardy went back in to get a different goat and came out as the Antichrist of pro wrestling with the Immortal Championship. Big time pop for that. I'm a huge fan of that championship. And then that led to them beating the Righteous and sending them into the Lake of Reincarnation. I don't know what happens with the Righteous from there, but I was very happy to see the Antichrist of pro wrestling on Impact this week. Main event saw Nick Nemeth pick up the victory over Casey Navarro to retain the championship. Navarro came out in a parody Dolph Ziggler shirt. He did the old entrance as well. And this match I thought was really good. Navarro started this with a super kick and he was on fire throughout this whole match. Not once did I think Casey Navarro was going to be winning and becoming champion, but it was so well done between both of them. Like, Nick Nemeth can go out there and have like these crazy matches. Casey Navarro, this was a very good match for him. I wasn't expecting Navarro to kick out of that super kick towards the end. The kick out after the code red I thought was good as well. This was just, like I said, I very much so enjoyed this match. And Nick Nemeth gets that victory. And now I guess Navarro's done chasing that championship, chasing Nick Nemeth. But we'll see what happens. So that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
Hi, Billy Mays here. If you're looking to remove a stain, then listen to Brandon's shout-outs.
The first shout out goes to Ride or Die, which is a brand new show on Prime Video starring Octavia Spencer and Hannah Waddingham. Have you heard anything about this show at all?
No.
Well, Octavia Spencer plays like a homemaker who's like best friends with Waddingham's character. She does not know that she's an international assassin, though. And there's drama, there's comedy, there's action. All the episodes are out now on Prime Video. I have not finished this series yet, but I think this is a fantastic show. I hope for there to be a second season. I would definitely watch that, and I very much so am enjoying this show. Mm-hmm. My next shout-out goes to WWE Unreal Season 3, because I really enjoyed this season. I liked seeing the stuff with John Cena's final run, and I still think a majority of what it was well done and exactly what the character said he was going to do. People still complain, and then there's like news article after news article. Everyone, you're getting worked. Like, this is a work show. Like, at this point, there's no way any of this is like not scripted.
Yeah, this. I mean, we said it last time, or at least like, that's one of the reasons why I haven't watched it is because I do.
I think it's like a good show. If you like Total Divas, it's not like that, but like there's aspects. I think Matt and Chelsea 100% need some sort of show there.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, it's a work show. That's why I never watched it, because you have all of these things taking place.
Did you not watch
Total
Divas and Total Bellas?
I think so, but towards the end, I mean, it was really. I mean, let's face it. There was moments I was watching Total Divas only for Rusev and
Larry Steve
and. Yeah, and Larry Steve. I mean, come on now. That was peak, you know? That was when we started to be like, okay, I guess Rusev actually does have a character. Like, he has a personality.
I still can't believe people watch that Total Bellas and think John Cena actually, like, what are you doing here?
Oh, like, exactly. Like, him as a... Yeah, let's face it. That was his first... I mean, that was his real heel turn. That was the most heel that we're ever that was more heel than the heel that we got during his heel turn. You know? That was just insanely heel on True Bellas or whatever it is.
Total Bellas?
Yeah, Total Bellas.
Wordplay on Total Divas?
Yes.
My last shout out is borderline anti shout out, but it's Will Ferrell's new program on Netflix called The Hawk. Have you seen anything about this?
I saw some, but I haven't watched it.
He plays a washed-up golfer who basically tries to get a comeback. I like most of the cast. Luke Wilson, Molly Shannon, Jimmy Tatro, Chris Parnell, Fortune Feaster, Keith David. And overall, I think the show is fine, but it also not fine at the same time, because it's almost like a ripoff of Happy Gilmore 2. And... despite not liking most of Will Ferrell's stuff, I thought it looked good enough to check out. I just think this could have been so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Would I watch a second season? I think 100% I would, but like, you're going to need to make this. And then I saw rumors that Happy Gilmore might actually appear if they do a second season. So that would be cool to see. But again, like, it gave off major, like, there were major things that were missing that could have been different here. But those are my shout outs. Now it's time for our
mark out moment of the week.
That is right. Our mark out moment of the week. 100% for me, I have to say Fanatics Fest and Saturday night's main event, everything that I did there. Not Saturday night's main event, but Fanatics Fest.
Yeah. I think that obviously everything with Fanatics Fest is total mark out moments across the board, from everything that happened with the Knicks to everything happening with Logan Paul, there was so many moments that were just mark out moments for me there. Even seeing some of the trading cards that were being sold there. But something else, I mean, the Saturday's main event, totally, I marked the heck out for that. Marked out for everything with the involvement of Brunson, with the involvement of Kat. But something that I also marked out for was everything taking place with the Ringside Collectibles at
Ringside Collectibles.
Comic-Con right now. Or they're sharing it, but with Mattel.
Yeah, man, they showed off a bunch of figures for San Diego Comic-Con I think Repo Man looks great. Sheamus has a chest that turns colors, so it looks like he's taking chops. Yeah, I think that's cool technology to add to a figure.
I think the Penta that I saw was just...
The WrestleMania Penta was fantastic.
That has to be one of my favorite figures that I've seen.
All of the non-wrestling announcements from the major pod blew me away, and I think it's awesome to see how far that they've come as a toy company. Mm-hmm. We also saw the return of Zack Ryder from Mattel. We're getting a two-pack with him and Chelsea Green, as well as a defining moments from WrestleMania 32, where he comes with Zack's dad's hat, the cowboy hat. I popped big time for that.
Good old Bob over there.
We have the basic and of that. Like, we'll have the Elite, and he'll have the entrance coat and everything.
Yeah, that's going to be incredible. Psycho Clown.
Yeah, there's a bunch of AAA that was announced that... Psycho Clown, he has the two heads, the mask comes off, it rips off. That's an ultimate, so it's going to be a lot more money. The Mr. Iguana has an ultimate, so which it looks absolutely fantastic. That's priced at $55. So
yeah, like if you were a collector, I mean, then you had a lot of horror.
But
stuff,
before
like
that, even the other AAA stuff, man, you have a '90s version of Rey Mysterio. That's an elite. Psychosis. Mm-hmm. La Parca is a 2-in-1 because it's a WCW mask as well as the La Parca who replaced him. So I think that's awesome. Conan's going to get one. The new La Parca is going to get a figure. Vikingo, Mr. Iguana, like I said, has an elite. El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., Pagano, Vikingo, El Grande Americano, Dominic Mysterio. Like you were going to make mention, there's the Monsters line. Kane is Michael Myers, John Cena as the Invisible Man, Jacob Fatu as the Wolfman, Kevin Owens is a zombie from Shaun of the Dead, CM Punk is Dracula with Larry as a bat, which I think is a cool inclusion there. There's also a three-pack of Larry, AJ Lee, and CM Punk. Liv Morgan and Chucky are in a set together. Where she also...
I marked out for...
She's going to have that same Sheamus technology where it looks like she was stabbed in the gut. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I marked out for like natural disasters. I'm a mark for natural disasters. And
which they have...
Coming out with new figures too.
They have... that's technically 2-in-1 figures as well because they'll come with cloth goods where Tugboat will be cloth goods. And then when Earthquake debuted as that fan... He's going to have that attire as well over the natural disasters gear.
Yeah, there's just so... I mean, you have the Street Fighter line.
Which I don't care about. There's also the Street Fighter, the non-WWE Street Fighter figure that was shown off of Roman Reigns.
Yeah. I mean, what about Cold Steven Austin?
That's Cold Stone with Danhausen.
Yeah, Cold Stone Steve.
I don't agree with him being in the Monday Night Wars. He's a build-a-figure there. I don't agree with that, but I think that's such a cool figure to have in that set. His wife is getting... Goolhausen is getting a figure. A two-pack with Danhausen. Abyss, the Freebirds, Jacqueline, Victoria. Dennis Rodman's getting a
Stone
figure.
Dr. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes, Dr. Austin. You have, as well as the segment where Stone Cold disguised himself as a camera operator in that cage match.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, he's getting that figure as well. But just the fact we have two WCW legends with Dennis Rodman and Chucky getting figures there. I think that's so cool.
All of these. I mean, Danhausen has like 500 figures coming out.
I think Danhausen might have at least 3 figures. I'm very surprised. The fact that Goolhausen has a figure, I'm shocked that Minnyhausen didn't get a figure.
Yeah, Cyndi Lauper has a figure.
Yeah, but we already marked out. Well, she has a new figure. She has LJN coming out.
Yeah, a new one. Yeah, the new LJN she has. You know, these LJNs, they look so cool, too.
I couldn't care less about the LJNs. I know people mark out hard for them, but...
I feel... Okay, oh. I mean...
It's magic.
Talking about... Yeah. Oh, it's magic. But you mentioned it before, but everything with what the majors were announcing, I mean, I totally marked out for the Iron Maiden.
Ozzy Osbourne.
With... Yeah, Ozzy, the princess bride with physique.
Fezzik?
Like, Fezzik, yeah.
What kind of fan are you?
All of these figures that they
Popeye and Bluto?
It's just, you know, you had some AEW guys there, you had Taz. No,
I thought you were going to move on to Jazzwares. So I was like, those Jazzwares figures don't look good.
I would have to.
There was an MJF that was shown off that looked like garbage.
They have MLB players now.
Yeah, Juan Soto.
Aaron Judge,
Shohei Ohtani.
Judge, Soto, Ohtani.
There was one other. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Skeens.
Just like I said, all of these. It's incredible to see where they've come for as a toy company.
Yeah, and like you said, like I feel like it's. For a collectible of the line, these are just like some of them are just so random, like the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah, I think they said celebrating the 90th anniversary of him.
Yeah, I mean,
oh yeah, you mean
it's just incredible. You know, that entire line is just really, really cool.
Also, at Saturday night's main event, they announced watch parties for WrestleMania at the theater at Madison Square Garden next year.
Oh, yeah.
With AAA Eternal Glory taking place after night one, NXT Stand and Deliver taking place, or day one, I should say, and then taking place after day two. And it seems like it's going to be a big Fanatics event as well. And now all the indie promotions can group together in New York and New Jersey for Mania weekend. Everybody can stop crying, even though people are even crying harder now.
Tony will still save us.
Brother, you're not going. They're not getting those numbers. They're not getting WrestleMania-esque numbers. You just come to New York, you'll get those numbers there.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to also mention I marked out The Fiend.
Oh, man, that set is so freaking fire, man. That three-pack is so awesome. The Muscle Man, Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, and Firefly Funhouse, Bray Wyatt. Such a fantastic set. That was incredible to see.
Like that Fiend figure that we've never seen that Fiend character.
I don't
believe
so.
Like from what I was reading, like that was going to be his like next incarnation of the Fiend, and this character, this figure, just looks insane. Like his lantern is the older Fiend face, just being like with his chains going through the mouth. And just stretching out the entire mouth to be this elongated thing where I guess the lantern would be. And just so insane. But yeah, totally marked out over that triple pack. Wow. You know?
Also, I mean, Mike Santana debuting for NXT, technically debuting or whatever.
Yeah.
WWE 2K26. Yeah, the DLC this week. They came out, Matt and Jeff Hardy, Lady Shawnee, and Jelly Roll. Well, you can't edit or use this theme song, so that sucks. Because I was 100% looking forward to adding Who's Your Daddy by Toby Keith into the jukebox. They also
people who question Jeff Hardy's entrance, they suck too.
Yeah, it's literally like almost spot on from his NXT appearance.
Yeah, it's not every Jeff Hardy entrance was him doing the dance. He's had other entrances, you know.
Yeah. But they also added Zack Ryder's theme song, Rebel Heart, The Brood. You can't use those in the jukebox. So for me, it's kind of like a moot point there, having those mm-hmm. alternate theme songs. But they added in the ringside pass, Jeff Hardy 2000 and Lita 2000. Matt's nowhere to be found, so I think that's incredibly stupid. But the new moves that they added for the Hardys are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond inaccurate, but them having No More Words as Jeff's solo theme song and then Live for the Moment for Matt's solo theme song, I think is cool. It's a cool addition to have there. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm just so happy to see the Hardy boys in the pack. I'm fine playing as Jelly Roll. I don't hate the fact that he's in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying using him. They added unique moves for him as well.
Yeah.
And then Matt Hardy teased that there's going to be more Hardy Boy content coming soon. So you have to assume it's going to be my faction and we're all screwed because I'm still trying to get stuff from my faction. So I hate my faction big time.
Oh,
I really hate 2K.
I got something else to bring up.
Go on.
I mean, do we say that Danhausen cursed Argentina? Oh,
yeah, Danhausen cursed Argentina and Spain won the World Cup.
I mean, there was two videos going around of one of Danhausen not cursing, well, cursing both teams, but then there's
which
one
cancels,
distinct
it cancels
video.
That out.
Exactly, yeah, that cancels out. So I was not aware of this other video. That's the only video I saw. So then Brandon brought it up to my attention that he actually did curse Argentina, and then the video was out there, and I saw it of, well, yeah, he cursed Argentina to win, and Spain won the World Cup.
He uncursed lettuce like, at Fanatics Fest. God bless him for that. Hopefully that actually gets uncursed.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, he wants 10 mil to uncurse the Mets, and that's not even going to help out.
I did see him uncursed. He said for the fourth time he's uncursed the Jets. Good luck.
Yeah, that's going to be a
best
hard,
of luck there, Danhausen.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so. That's a lot of mark out moments of the week. I enjoyed the heck out of wrestling this week. So thank you for checking out Marking Out episode 807. You could follow us on Twitter at Marking Out at BTG161 on all platforms. Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms. Facebook.com/Marking Out. YouTube and Instagram are Marking Out 11. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out. At Marking Out on TikTok. I really appreciate if you go there, like, share. Favorite all of our videos there. Leave some comments. Do that on YouTube as well.
You
could rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, markingout.com. And we wish you
the
best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.